Don't you? I'm Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. Today, Gina Bennett presents Ask a Teacher. Dan Novak's got some monkey news from Thailand. And we close our show with an American story. But first, it's back to Dan Friedel for this report.
American music star Beyoncé released her new album, Cowboy Carter, last week. The singer said the country music record was born of an earlier experience in which she did not feel welcomed by the country music industry. Country music stars Linda Martell and Willie Nelson are among the album's guest artists. Beyoncé also sings duets with Miley Cyrus and Post Malone, and covers the famous Dolly Parton song Jolene. Experts and fans say Beyoncé's move into country music is a reclaiming and honoring of the legacy of Black Americans within country music and culture. That history, they argue, has gone largely unrecognized in some mainstream music circles. Many Black musicians try to make it in country music, but have trouble being accepted by its mostly white fans. Beyoncé said the record is a reaction to her experience from 2016, when she released the song Daddy Lessons. She performed the song with the country group The Chicks at the Country Music Awards. Some country music fans said Beyoncé did not belong at the event. Beyoncé's Jolene comes with an introduction from Dolly Parton herself. She speaks about Beyoncé's song Sorry from 2016, saying that it reminded her of the story in Jolene. Parton and Nelson also appear in other parts of the record, introducing songs like a radio DJ. Guest artist Linda Martell was the first Black female singer to appear at the famous Nashville, Tennessee live music site, the Grand Ole Opry, in 1969. In the weeks leading up to the album release, Beyoncé posted images of herself in cowboy hats and other clothing linked to country life. The artist grew up in Houston, Texas, where country music is extremely popular. She has talked in the past about how she is connected to country music and Southern culture. She called the new record a deeper dive into the history of country music. Some country music experts say Beyoncé is walking in the footsteps of the Black country singers who came before her. They point to past singers Leslie Riddle and Charlie Pride, and current singers including Jimmy Allen, Mickey Guyton, and Rhiannon Giddens. She released two songs earlier this year, Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages, using a clear country twang and instruments common to country songs. Texas Hold'em recently reached the top spot on Billboard Magazine's Hot Country Songs chart.
Texas, ain't no hold'em. Hey. So lay our cards down, 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 down.
Just before Cowboy Carter came out, Beyoncé made a post on Instagram. She said, "I feel honored to be the first Black woman with the number one single on the Hot Country Songs chart." She went on to say that in the future, she hopes people will no longer need to talk about a singer's race when discussing music.
Wildlife officials in Thailand released a plan on Wednesday to bring peace to a central city after at least 10 years of human-monkey conflict. The macaques that live in Lopburi are a symbol of local culture and a major tourist attraction. But there have been years of dangerous interactions between humans and the monkeys. Past attempts to control the monkey population have failed. Local people and businesses say they have had enough. The monkeys often try to take food from humans, injuring them in the process. Most injuries are minor. But two serious monkey attacks took place last month. A monkey pulled a woman down to the ground when trying to take her food. The woman suffered a serious knee injury. In the other attack, a hungry monkey pushed a man off a motorcycle. Officials hope to capture 2,500 of the monkeys and place them in large enclosures, said Athapol Sharanshunsa. He is the Director General of the Department of National Parks, Wildlife, and Plant Conservation. They will work with wildlife experts to find a way for a limited number of monkeys to stay in the city, he added. I don't want humans to have to hurt monkeys, and I don't want monkeys to have to hurt humans, he told reporters in Bangkok. An official monkey-catching campaign was launched last week. The officials' main concern is aggressive alpha males. Workers have caught 37 monkeys so far. Most of those animals were placed under the care of wildlife officials in the nearby province of Saraburi. Others were sent to the Lopburi Zoo. Officials said they plan to capture more monkeys once the enclosures are complete. Separate cages will be prepared for different troops of monkeys to prevent them from fighting. Athapol said the large cages will be able to contain thousands of them and will solve the problem very quickly. The monkeys are a symbol of the province, about 140 kilometers north of Bangkok. There, the ancient Three Pagodas Temple celebrates a yearly monkey buffet festival. Macaques are considered a protected species under Thailand's wildlife conservation law. Some have blamed the city's monkey troubles on tourists and local people feeding the animals. They say feeding them led more monkeys to enter the city in search of food. But an earlier effort to limit feeding may have made things worse, some locals say. City officials in recent years ordered fines against people caught feeding monkeys in several areas around the main tourist sites. But those feeding areas were controlled by a few troops of the highly territorial macaques. Competing groups grew hungry and increasingly sought food from humans in other areas. Athapol said people should not consider the monkeys as villains. He said officials might not have moved quickly enough to control the monkey population. People also need to adapt to the city's monkeys, said Padij Lathong. He is director of the Wildlife Conservation Office. He explained that a lack of natural food sources leads the animals to find food wherever they can, including from humans. Past control measures have fallen short. From 2014 to 2023, the wildlife officials neutered about 2,600 Lopburi monkeys. Athapol said they are also working in other areas of Thailand that are facing problems with monkeys. He said 52 of the country's 77 provinces often report problems from monkeys. I'm Dan Novak.
Hello. This week on Ask a Teacher,
We answer a question that was posted on our YouTube channel. Question to English teachers. What is correct to say? Different from or different than? In the example below, which is correct? Cost of life has a different meaning than cost of living. Cost of life has a different meaning from cost of living. Thank you for this question. It is a good one. Some people say that different than is incorrect. Your grammar textbook may say you should never use different than. However, in American English, we use both different from and different than to mean not the same. We use them before a noun phrase. For example, it's different from other shows. State laws may be different from national laws. Their ideas are a little different than ours. We can also use them before a clause. For example, how are these different from the ones we had before? That is not any different than what I said. Dating is different than it was 10 years ago. Both phrases have the same meaning, but their usage is different. We use different than mostly in spoken English. It is more informal, and it is almost always used before a clause. We use different from mostly in written English, and we use it far more often than different than. So, either sentence is okay in spoken American English, but different from is the better choice because it comes before a noun phrase. We hope this explanation has helped you. Do you have a question about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Gina Bennett.
And now Gina Bennett joins us for a talk about her report. Hi, Gina.
Hi, Katie.
You start the answer to this week's question by saying that some people think different than is incorrect, and grammar textbooks may say you should never use different than. If it's incorrect, why would you say learners can use it?
That's a good question. We've talked before about descriptive grammar. Descriptive grammar explains how people really use language. Sometimes rules from textbooks present language that sounds artificial or that doesn't match the way language is used in real life. Using different than is a good example of descriptive grammar.
But shouldn't we only want to teach learners correct grammar?
Well, it is correct based on how people use language. Most learners want to speak language that sounds natural, as if they've been using it their whole life. That's more important than a textbook.
Okay. But what about different than? Sometimes I hear people say that, and it surely can't be correct in any way.
Oh, you're right about that. Although sometimes people do say different than, what they mean, and sometimes what they think they are saying is different than.
It seems like many people get then and than confused, not just learners.
I think you're right. The words sound very similar, and sometimes in rapid, natural speech, they can even sound the same, and they're spelled very similarly. It's easy to see how learners may get these words confused, but I'm not so sure about people whose home language is English. I'm not sure why they get these words mixed up.
Do we sound that different than you guys? I'd rather leave earlier than take a break. Chocolate is better than vanilla. That's more important than a textbook.
No, stop. Than. Different than. Earlier than. Better than. More important than.
Just teasing. Thanks for chatting with me today, Gina.
You're welcome. It was more fun than working on an article.
Now it's time for the Learning English program, American Stories. Today we hear A Pair of Silk Stockings by Kate Chopin.
Little Mrs. Summers one day found herself the unexpected owner of $15. It seemed to her a very large amount of money. The way it filled up her worn money holder gave her a feeling of importance that she had not enjoyed for years. The question of investment was one she considered carefully. For a day or two, she walked around in a dreamy state as she thought about her choices. She did not wish to act quickly and do anything she might regret. During the quiet hours of the night, she lay awake considering ideas. A dollar or two could be added to the price she usually paid for her daughter Janie's shoes. This would guarantee they would last a great deal longer than usual. She would buy cloth for new shirts for the boys. Her daughter Mag should have another dress. And still, there would be enough left for new stockings, 2 pairs per child. What time that would save her in always repairing old stockings. The idea of her little family looking fresh and new for once in their lives made her restless with excitement. The neighbors sometimes talked of the better days that little Miss Summers had known before she had ever thought of being Mrs. Summers. She herself never looked back to her younger days. She had no time to think about the past. The needs of the present took all her energy. Mrs. Summers knew the value of finding things for sale at reduced prices. She could stand for hours making her way, little by little, toward the desired object that was selling below cost. She could push her way if need be. But that day she was tired and a little bit weak. She had eaten a light meal. No, she thought about her day. Between getting the children fed and the house cleaned and preparing herself to go shopping, she had forgotten to eat at all. When she arrived at the large department store, she sat in front of an empty counter. She was trying to gather strength and courage to push through a mass of busy shoppers. She rested her hand upon the counter. She wore no gloves. She slowly grew aware that her hand had felt something very pleasant to touch. She looked down to see that her hand lay upon a pile of silk stockings. A sign nearby announced that they had been reduced in price. A young girl who stood behind the counter asked her if she wished to examine the silky leg coverings. She smiled as if she had been asked to inspect diamond jewelry with the aim of purchasing it. But she went on feeling the soft, costly items. Now she used both hands, holding the stockings up to see the light shine through them. Two red marks suddenly showed on her pale face. She looked up at the shop girl. "Do you think there are any size 8.5 among these?" There were a great number of stockings in her size. Mrs. Summers chose a black pair and looked at them closely. $1.98, she said aloud. "Well, I will buy this pair." She handed the girl a $5 bill and waited for her change and the wrapped box with the stockings. What a very small box it was. It seemed lost in her worn old shopping bag. Mrs. Summers then took the elevator, which carried her to an upper floor into the ladies' rest area. In an empty corner, she replaced her cotton stockings for the new silk ones. For the first time, she seemed to be taking a rest from the tiring act of thought. She had let herself be controlled by some machine-like force that directed her actions and freed her of responsibility. How good was the touch of the silk on her skin! She felt like lying back in the soft chair and enjoying the richness of it. She did for a little while. Then she put her shoes back on and put her old stockings into her bag. Next, she went to the shoe department, sat down, and waited to be fitted. The young shoe salesman was unable to guess about her background. He could not resolve her worn old shoes with her beautiful new stockings. She tried on a pair of new boots. She held back her skirts and turned her feet one way and her head another way as she looked down at the shiny pointed boots. Her foot and ankle looked very lovely. She could not believe that they were a part of herself. She told the young salesman that she wanted an excellent and stylish fit. She said she did not mind paying extra as long as she got what she desired. After buying the new boots, she went to the glove department. It was a long time since Mrs. Summers had been fitted with gloves. When she had bought a pair, they were always bargains, so cheap that it would have been unreasonable to have expected them to be fitted to her hand. Now she rested her arm on the counter where gloves were for sale. A young shop girl drew a soft leather glove over Mrs. Summers' hand. She smoothed it down over the wrist and buttoned it neatly. Both women lost themselves for a second or two as they quietly praised the little gloved hand. There were other places where money might be spent. A store down the street sold books and magazines. Mrs. Summers bought two costly magazines that she used to read back when she had been able to enjoy other pleasant things. She lifted her skirts as she crossed the street. Her new stockings and boots and gloves had worked wonders for her appearance. They had given her a feeling of satisfaction, a sense of belonging to the well-dressed crowds. She was very hungry. Another time, she would have ignored the desire for food until reaching her own home. But the force that was guiding her would not permit her to act on such a thought. There was a restaurant at the corner. She had never entered its doors. She had sometimes looked through the windows. She had noted the white tablecloths, shining glasses, and waiters serving wealthy people. When she entered, her appearance created no surprise or concern, as she had half feared it might. She seated herself at a small table. A waiter came at once to take her order. She ordered 6 oysters, a chop, something sweet, a glass of wine, and a cup of coffee. While waiting to be served, she removed her gloves very slowly and set them beside her. Then she picked up her magazine and looked through it. It was all very agreeable. The tablecloths were even more clean and white than they had seemed through the window, and the crystal drinking glasses shined even more brightly. There were ladies and gentlemen who did not notice her, lunching at the small tables like her own. A pleasing piece of music could be heard, and a gentle wind was blowing through the window. She tasted a bite, and she read a word or two, and she slowly drank the wine. She moved her toes around in the silk stockings. The price of it all made no difference. When she was finished, she counted the money out to the waiter and left an extra coin on his tray. He bowed to her as if she were a princess of royal blood. There was still money in her purse, and her next gift to herself presented itself as a theater advertisement. When she entered the theater, the play had already begun. She sat between richly dressed women who were there to spend the day eating sweets and showing off their costly clothing. There were many others who were there only to watch the play. It is safe to say there was no one there who had the same respect that Mrs. Summers did for her surroundings. She gathered in everything, stage and players and people, in one wide sensation. She laughed and cried at the play. She even talked a little with the women. One woman wiped her eyes with a small square of lace and passed Mrs. Summers her box of candy. The play was over, the music stopped, the crowd flowed outside. It was like a dream ended. Mrs. Summers went to wait for the cable car. A man with sharp eyes sat opposite her. It was hard for him to fully understand what he saw in her expression. In truth, he saw nothing, unless he was a magician. Then he would sense her heartbreaking wish that the cable car would never stop anywhere, but go on and on with her forever.
That's all the time we have for today's show, but join us again tomorrow for another VOA Learning English program. Thanks for listening.